Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from the Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Our theme this morning, it's true. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Dearly redeemed of Christ Jesus, early on the first day of the week, Mary had risen very early and had set out for the tomb. The other women followed her, carrying the spices and the appropriate material to give Jesus a proper burial. The women have a near impossible task ahead of them. How will they move that stone? How can they possibly prepare their Lord's body in their deep, deep sorrow? The women had seen their Lord viciously crucified and quickly laid in a tomb. They, nor did anyone else, have any time to mourn. Yet, in the dim light of dawn, Mary is the first to approach the tomb and immediately sees that the stone had been removed. John tells us in the original language that the stone had not only been rolled away, but it had actually been toppled over, removed from its track. Matthew relates to us that the angel was sitting on that huge stone. Obviously, Mary Magdalene doesn't see the angel, although the other women do. You see, Mary is in sheer terror. Why, those despicable Jews or someone had broken into the tomb and they had now desecrated the body of her Lord Jesus. They had removed him from the tomb. Mary didn't know that the Jews had asked Pilate to seal the tomb and to place a guard there at the tomb so that the disciples could not break in and steal the body of Jesus and then claim that he had risen as he had promised. No, Mary, in her sheer terror, in her anger even, she immediately turns and runs back to the disciples. She finds Peter and John, but the other women, they remain at the tomb. When Mary finds Peter and John, she exclaims, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." They, the Jews, had removed the body from the tomb. The "we" refers clearly to the women. And they had no idea where the Jews had taken him. John and Peter, they now begin to run to the tomb. John is younger and faster and arrives first. The other women had already left the tomb. After hearing the angel proclaim the good, good news, as Matthew writes, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Now it's apparent to us that there must be other ways into this garden and to the tomb. For as John and Peter are arriving, Matthew also tells us that Jesus has appeared to the other women. And what does Jesus speak? He speaks words of gospel. "Greetings, rejoice, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Yet John is now at the tomb, and he sees the stone had been toppled over, and he remains outside. Yet Peter arrives, and Peter, being Peter, rushes right into the tomb. Now we hear the witness of Peter, as told to us by John. And it's obvious, it's crystal clear to us that the body had not been stolen. For John writes, "He, Peter, saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as a cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen." My dear friends, if you do not believe that Jesus rose on the third day, then explain to me, explain to your fellow Christians, what did Peter and John and the women, what did they see? They saw strips of linen laying there undisturbed, but the body of Jesus is gone. The cloth wrapped around his head was there, separate from the linen and neatly folded, lying in the place that it was to be lying. Yet, no Jesus. You must account for the guard and the Roman seal. Dearly redeemed, listen closely. Jesus passed through his grave clothes in such a way that they remained laying as if his body were in them. Jesus is now in his state of exaltation. There is nothing, nothing on earth that can hold him, not even the solid rock of a tomb. Jesus passes from the tomb even before the stone is rolled away and toppled over. The stone is toppled over, removed from the tomb's entrance, not for Jesus' benefit, for your benefit, so that you will believe that the tomb is empty. And by the way, may I add, the tomb will always be empty. Therefore, this blessed day, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate nothing less than the triumph over sin, death, and the power of the devil. Now, this is not some yarn that is dreamed up by some theologian. And this theologian doesn't use this yarn just to make you feel better. It's not a tale to help you to cope with all the hardships that you certainly have in this life. No, dear ones, we rejoice that Christ has accomplished all that science, medicine, and human effort could never possibly accomplish. Jesus has conquered death. He has won the victory so that you can truly live forever in His glorious presence. Indeed, most of the world, under the power of the devil, sees no use for believing in the resurrection of Jesus. Why? They say it's just too good to be true. After all, and you've heard this, it doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't matter if Jesus rose from the dead. It doesn't matter whether or not you want to believe it. If believing in the resurrection makes you feel good, if it gives you comfort, then it's okay. Go ahead and do it. But on the other hand, if you believe that you will get to heaven because you can live a good life, that every day is a Friday for you, then it's important for you to believe that also. You see, my friends, and this is key to understanding religion in our world today. Religion is not about God. Religion is about man. It's about how hard that you can work. It's about how hard you can labor to win God's satisfaction. In other words, It's not about what Jesus has done for you here at the cross. And it's not, certainly not about an empty tomb. Thus today, we have many man-made religions. And the worst of the worst is the religion of today, the religion of tolerance. Tolerance tells us that we must accept all religions and whatever they teach. But once again, do not be deceived, dear brothers and sisters. In order for you to accept these religions of tolerance, you must give up and believe that if you contradict someone, well, then you're in the wrong. As a Christian, if you want to believe in the religion of tolerance, you have to give up the belief that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. You see, the truth to them is that salvation isn't only by Jesus, that there are many ways to heaven. The religion of tolerance refuses and refutes the fact that Jesus rose on the third day, that his tomb is empty and will always be empty. You see, they teach and they preach that you can't believe in Jesus because Jesus, if he truly did what he said he did, well, that then makes him God, and therefore he is superior to all the other gods of this world. And this they cannot tolerate. In other words, the world seeks to take away from you your Lord Jesus so that you won't know where to find him. Instead, the world falsely whispers to you that your faith isn't about Jesus, it's about your religion. It's your truth. It's what you believe. And if you're tempted to believe this false teaching, please consider the following 4 points. Point number one. Mary Magdalene, well, we have to assume and we have to believe that she is sincere. She is in deep grief, and it's obvious to us that she is devoted to Jesus. If they weren't devoted, they would not have gone to the tomb. However, all of this is worth nothing if Jesus is not raised from the dead. If Jesus is still in the tomb, Mary's faith is useless. She has no hope of eternal life. Neither do the disciples, neither does any Christian through all the ages, and therefore, you have no hope of eternal life. Faith is essential. It is central that you have this faith and that you have faith in the truth. No matter how sincere, faith in what is false will not save you. Only Jesus won eternal life for you and no other. Only Jesus won eternal life for you by his death on a cross. And there is no other God who's did and has done what he did and accomplished at Golgotha. If there is one, then name him. The point is, you can't name him because there is only one God who has done this, and his name is Jesus. Secondly, to believe the world's lie that it doesn't really matter places you under severe judgment. It places you under the law of God. Remember, all of you remember, don't you? You shall have no other gods before me. Before me means in my presence, in my sight. In other words, you shall have no other gods, period. To teach that you can believe what you want to believe and that it's the truth, places yourself over and above God. You make yourself a God. And therefore, on the great last day, you will reap what you have sown. Repent. Thirdly, the world's lie that what you believe doesn't really matter violates the Holy Gospel. The Lord has given His only begotten Son to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And the world tries to make Jesus just another Savior, just another prophet among other prophets, just another God among other gods. To do this, cheapens His sacrifice here at His cross. For there is no other way to heaven, my dear friend. There is no other way except through Jesus. And if there is another way, then why in the world did He die here? Why in the world did He allow Himself to be viciously whipped, beaten, mocked, crowned with thorns, and to top it all off, nailed to a cross? If He didn't have to do this for your sake, why in the world did He allow this? Yes, he was nailed to a cross, just like a piece of meat. He was nailed to a tree, and He willingly went to the cross, not for Himself, but for you. Therefore, if you don't believe this, then you must name or find someone or something else that will promise you the same salvation. Therefore, we go back that you have no peace. There is no salvation. And lastly, dearly beloved, the world's teaching that you can believe anything you want and that what you believe doesn't really matter offers you no hope. Clearly, what you believe does matter. And this is what we believe. This is what we teach. This is what we confess. The only begotten Son of God became flesh and died for the sins of the world, suffering God's judgment for our sin. And 3 days later, He rose from the dead as He promised. Therefore, rejoice. Rejoice, dear Christians, one and all. Rejoice, for Christ is risen from the dead, and He lives and reigns forevermore. This is the good news for each and every one of you. This is good news for those of you who face death, and therefore it's good news for each and every one of us. Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Although you and I face death each day, we are as sheep to be slaughtered. Even though we will die in this physical body, we do not die in our spiritual body. We will not die the second death. Therefore, you have this blessed assurance that Jesus is true to His word, and that when He returns for you, you too will live in everlasting glory, in blessedness, and in innocence, sitting at His feet and receiving from Him forevermore His great glory and His unending mercy. This is good news. This is good news for those of us who grieve. I know that there are hymns that we sang this morning or at the sunrise service that may have brought tears to your eyes, because some of these are funeral hymns and they bring back memories. Although we do mourn, and we should mourn, those who have died in the Lord declares that we will be comforted. The grave is not the end, since His resurrection is the beginning for your loved one, for my loved ones, and for each and every one of us. It is the beginning of eternity for those who have died in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to Jesus. My friends, as we now close, I announce to you one more time that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that He appeared bodily, and He appeared in His whole and total essence to Mary Magdalene, in body and blood, speaking words of grace and forgiveness. And my dear friends, Jesus is present, and He is present right now in body and blood. In this Holy Supper, He gives to each and every one of you His body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. What other God has done this for you? There is none other than Jesus Christ, the one and the only, the worthy one, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. And He has done this that He might raise you on the great last day to live with Him in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness. And we will live with Him forever and ever in His kingdom. So therefore, my dear friends, I ask you to rise, for it is true. Please rise. And my friends, we will now proclaim that blessed gospel, for it is true. He is risen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.